Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Welcome back, Timekeeper, to the Lucky Die. Previously, Lathian is an enabler. Rao promises to wait, Squash procrastinates, and Sultana champions for forgiveness. The heroes encounter the creatures of the Stalking and attempt to pass along messages to their lost loved ones in order to appease them. At the Well of Echoes, the heroes listen into the world's prayers in hopes of gaining information. And leaving his friends behind, Squash finally meets Hope. What will Sirik make as an apology? What is Trempel stepping up to do? And what is happening to Squash? I guess we're about to find out. Welcome back to the Lucky Die.
What's Squash dreaming of right now?
Is he asleep?
Yes, he is.
He's dreaming of walking, like a journey. He's dreaming of trekking across the land. I can imagine it's like he's got all his old gear with him, and he's got some of his new gear because dream logic. And he's traveling across a world that doesn't really exist with people that either exist or don't, just as the dream needs.
As like a group?
Yeah, he's part of a group, but he doesn't know anybody in the group until he talks to them. Then he knows who they are. You know, the dream logic.
Yeah, dream logic. Okay, all right. As you're walking along this pathway in this kind of swampish feeling to it. Everything in the air is really muggy, and all the plants around you are those kind of like the ones that you'll definitely find in damp areas, like willows and lots of vines and stuff crawling all over the place. But the road itself is like a really compacted sand. So it's like you're walking in a desert, but not. Because dream logic, that's how dream logic works.
Yeah.
As you're walking down this path, you see ahead of you, walking towards you, you see another small group. There, you instinctively know it's the same set of people, the ones around you and the ones in front of you, except that they're not being led by you. You're scouting ahead for your group because dream logic. And ahead, you see that at the front of their group is a small female halfling is leading their group. You recognize her, but you don't know how you recognize it. You don't know why, you just know that you do. And you're probably 40, 50 feet out when she kind of stops her group and she says, hello?
Hi. We're traveling towards the city. Is the path clear? Where are you coming from?
It's filled. The city isn't there anymore. It's an old ruin. There's only things of the past there. You're heading in the wrong direction if you're going towards the city. We're headed towards the city. And as you look at her, you realise you recognise her. You definitely know her, but you're not sure how. And you see that the people behind her aren't your group at all. They're older versions of them. They're covered in battle scars. There's new young faces amongst them that, again, you don't really recognise. Some of them look like Lathian, but maybe hundreds of years in the future. Some of them look like Sultana, exactly as she is in this moment. You see Raoul and Aemir, and they're kind of like leaning on each other. They're like stooped to their shoulders. You see Damaz is there, and he's in the height of his power, but he looks so, so much older.
Maybe I got lost.
Maybe. I think you need to be... If you're looking to go to the city, you can't find it by walking backwards. You have to go the other way, towards the future.
Squash looks wherever she, like, gestured.
She's, like, gesturing, like, behind, like almost literally behind you.
Does the swamp look any different there?
Yeah, as you turn and look back, you actually see the swamp is young and vibrant, and you see that all the plants are fresh and new or about to come into their flower, and you don't know how you didn't recognize it before. You've been walking for a while and you never noticed the plants around you are new when you look back. And as you look back, you see that your companions, some you know, some you don't, are all young and fresh-faced, and they're carrying new shiny weapons. They all look powerful and like they haven't been through any battles yet. You also noticed far off in the distance, you see this tall, glimmering tower nestled amongst the trees and the hills and the forests. You notice that this is clearly a city far, far off in the distance.
Right you are. Sorry, guys. The city's over there. We can actually see it from here. You probably don't need a guide at this point. But I'll scout ahead. It's okay. I'll keep us safe.
Squash. Squash. And you feel like a shaking on your shoulder.
Squash, like, kind of, like, tries to move the hand off his shoulder. And it's like, yeah, sure. What do you want?
You need to wake up. And as she says that, as you hear this voice that you kind of vaguely recognize, as you blink once, twice, the images around you begin to fade and a completely new place takes form in front of your eyes. You're in a room. It's a small room, wood floor, you know, painted ceiling. There's a light source nearby, a candle that's flickering on a bedside table. You find yourself laying flat out on a small bed, and you see the woman that you saw last, before you were electrocuted, standing before you. It's the timekeeper. You are awake.
Hope, where? And Squash is going to try to sit up as he just kind of goes like, where am I? Wait, what did you do? Where are my friends?
You're still in the stalking. Your friends are safe for the moment. They're still in the stalking. They're still dealing with what's coming their way. For the moment, they're fine. At this moment in time, they're okay. You're in my home.
Your home isn't in the stocking?
She nods, and as you look around, you notice that everything has that very light sepia tone to it, but it's not... It's not, like, fully enveloped in the stalking. There's something odd about this place. It clears something magical. You can see some of the bright colours around you. There aren't many, but there are some. There is a single door that leads out of this room, and it's, like, slightly ajar. Could you roll a perception check for me, please?
All right. 23.
And could you also roll a stealth check for me, please?
33.
You don't notice anything. You just see the door is slightly ajar.
Okay. You know why I'm here. Mm-hmm. Why am I here? Let me rephrase that. Why am I specifically here? What did you do?
Well, I needed to check through your timeline. I mentioned before that it would basically be my choice if you become the next timekeeper or not. And I needed to check who that person might be. I needed to check through your timeline. I needed to see everything that you've seen or remembered, that the effects of your actions on the world. It takes some time. It takes a little time to do this. I needed you not to interfere.
I used to be a different person. I'm much better. I have friends that help me.
I understand. I've seen what you've seen. I've seen most of what you've seen. I don't want to leave you unconscious for 37-ish years. I had to skip through some stuff. But I understand that you've tried to change.
Wait, how long have I been here?
A couple of hours. Not too long.
So, what do you think?
I'm unsure, to be honest. You've done some not wonderful things. And I don't know if I could trust you with this power. But I will show you what we can do. And I will make a decision after I get to know you a little better.
Okay. What can I do to help assure you that I can do this?
We'll get to that. How about I... What do you know of the Timekeepers? What do you know what it is that we do?
I believe that you're supposed to... I think the phrasing was protect the timeline. Keep time a straight line.
Close enough. To a degree, yes. It's our job to make sure that paradoxes and alternative timelines don't exist.
Okay.
It breaks the fabric of our reality if they are to exist. Our world is not perfect. It was not balanced well when it was created. A flaw. Let me tell you a little bit about where we came from. And she kind of like sits down on a chair after having like woken you up. And there's a couple of chairs around this table as well. She pours herself like a small cup of something, a greenish liquid. Smells a bit like tea. And she says, At the end of the last age, mortals took control of our own fate. You already met the goddess of paperwork. She used to be the goddess of fate. We mortals decided that every movement of ours should not be dictated. A lot of us fought for that. That's how I ended up being in this position. There was a big fight between us and the gods. The deity of time, he was killed. But that left the world in an odd place. The timeline needs to be protected. It needs to be looked after. It's fragile. Too many branching paths of reality would destroy this world, and no one would exist. So I became the timekeeper.
You're the only timekeeper since the God of Time died?
Yeah. Basically, I've had a few other forms in my time. I've been other people, sowed different seeds about what this is, tried to keep people away. You're not the first to try and come and take this from me.
I'm not trying to take it from you. I Yes, I am. I'm sorry. If I had a... It is my choice to walk this path, and this path requires power that are far outside my capabilities.
So I understand. From what I can see, after the nauseating headache, you need this to do what you need to do. You need the power to, not just the sand. If you're to perform the spell, at least. I think there are others amongst you. I myself could also. Sirik could too. But if you're to do this, you need this power that comes with being a timekeeper. But you need to understand this isn't a quick fix. This isn't a, I'll take this now and forget about the job. It's more than that. This is thousands of years of this.
It's probably foolish for somebody like me who has forgotten more time than he's lived. But I... That's fine. It's okay if I have to... fix... things. I've spent a lot of time... being selfish. And if the debt isn't one-on-one in hours, I think that's absolutely fair.
All right. Let me show you some of the things that we can do.
Why do you keep saying we? I'm just Squash.
You are. But you being here, you being able to see me, means you have... the ability to see things that others don't. Which means you're kind of perfect for this. You're not the first. You won't be the last, I'm hoping. But there are things you're going to be able to do. And the fact that you're here in this time and place, that you have one of the crossbows, that means something. Do you know what a paradox is?
It is when a thing that can't be and a thing that is exist at the same time. Thomas told me a married bachelor was the one he came up with always.
sort of. Protecting the timeline means that we can't allow all paradoxes to exist. They do damage to the hourglass of Bikron. Not massive. Not masses of damage. Minor compared to some other things. But death by a thousand paper cuts, I guess. So one paradox I'm going to show you. You're going to come to me. Your future you is going to come to a past me when you were unconscious. And tell me where I'm taking you now. As she puts her hands out in front of you.
I'm going to tell you where we're going?
You already told me where we're going. And she has like this kind of like smile, smirk on her face. She knows she's being a dick.
Squash just reaches out his hands, mostly like a little bit baffled, but like thinks he gets the idea.
You're going to understand. As she reaches out and she closes her hands on you, you feel this... tug in the back of your navel, but also kind of in the back of your throat. It's this strange feeling that your entire spine is being yanked backwards. You see that there are a few runes that seem to be glowing within her eyes itself, and you feel this strange texture of sand beneath your fingertips just momentarily. You find yourself standing in a small room. You're in the material plane. It's very obvious there's no sepia tones here. You can see that there is a table. It's covered in books and scrolls. The table is covered in scrolls and books and quills and ink that has been, like, mostly used. Asleep on top of one of these scrolls with a quill in her hand, you see Demi is unconscious. You see that she has her eye patch on, and that you can see there is a lot of information written down. At a quick glance, you see that she's reading this book on theory of interconnected resonance of particles on different planes. You can see there's the telltale signs of God's dream. And you see that Hope puts a finger to her lips, and very quietly she whispers, "You bring me to this moment." She very carefully leans forward, and she puts her mouth right next to Demi's ear, and she whispers,
"Magic's dangerous. Don't do this. But then, if you don't do this, who will save everyone?"
And then she stands up again and, like, takes half a step closer to you. You remember this, right?
Yeah. It's what Demi said to me when we met each other in dream.
It's what I said to you in that dream.
You weren't there.
She points at Demi, and she points at the God's dream, and she points back to you.
But Demi was there also.
Mm-hmm. She shared that dream with you.
Are you somehow connected to Demi?
You sent me back in time. Future you, you're about to send me to this time. So that I can whisper this to her. So that you hear it. So that you know that what I'm telling you is true. We are shifting through time, albeit very subtly and carefully. This is a paradox. This could not exist until you tell me to go back in time and drop this information.
I understand.
She puts a hand out to you. We should probably leave before engulfs everything in here in green flames.
Oh. Mm. Can we not prevent that? No, we... Okay, yes, no, let's go.
We could try, but it wouldn't be smart.
Squash grabs her hand.
You feel that tug on, like, your entire spine. And yeah, just as you go, you just hear, like, a sharp intake of breath from Demi, and then you just feel that warmth. Yeah, you got it about right the time.
I imagine Squash, like, moved a couple of papers a little bit further away from her to try to save them, but...
You find yourself standing in a kind of like a nice corridor. The floor is made of like this well put together like stones. They're very flush or interconnected. There's a pattern all the way along this short corridor. There's a window right next to you, and you see that there is a door ajar to your left. And she says, "You need to go tell that Hope when to take you."
Okay. Do I come back?
Don't. Wake yourself up. I wouldn't advise it.
Okay. Do I come back here when I'm done?
Yes.
Okay. One second. Yes, Squash is gonna quietly make his way towards the door and peek through.
You can see that passed out on this bed is you. And you see that Hope has her hand resting like against your forehead, and the other one is rested gently above, like just above where your heart is. And you can see that there is this kind of purplish glow coming from her fingertips.
Squash is gonna push the door open, and if she doesn't react, he just knocks very gently on the door.
Come in. Hi. She looks at you, she looks back at Squash, and she kind of shrugs like, "Oh, goodness sake."
I'm going to be honest, I was hoping you knew I'd be coming because that meant you already have a plan for what you're going to be doing, but I guess not. You need to choose a moment to take me back to later to prove paradoxes.
Yeah. That seems like a smart choice of mine. Yeah.
So what you need to do is, there's a very special moment where I met a woman named Demi in my dream, and she warned me not to use magic.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go to her while she's in the dream and tell her to tell me that it's dangerous, but there's not really...
I'm sure I'll make it up, no problem. What do I call you? I'm seeing a few names reading through your timeline.
Oh, I'm Squash.
Squash it is. Good luck.
Thanks. Be nice to him. He's very confused. I think I'm getting this.
You're only going to get worse, I'm afraid.
Squash leaves.
As you leave, you hear yourself waking up. And Hope puts a finger, current Hope puts a finger to her lips and kind of very quietly walks you away from that room. You are unheard because your stealth is 33.
I had a feeling that's what happened because you made me do a perception and a stealth. And I was like, I see where this is going.
That's a paradox, Squash. There are things that can't exist unless something else has already happened. An event that can't have happened without future knowledge of a past event and putting it back in place. It's a little much to wrap your head around to start with, I guess.
Okay. I was never much into these kind of philosophizing things, but there was a half elf that I used to hang out with that talked about these kind of things, so I think I'm following.
Good. At least you're beginning to get this. So, things like that, we can do, but we don't. Not often. Some of them we can allow because they're easily fixed or they don't break the hourglass. But generally speaking, we don't do this. Ever. It's our job to stop people from doing things like this. The timeline isn't really to be toyed with, even though I clearly just did. But that'll fix itself in the future, and I'll show you what that means. What do you think about the future?
My future?
Yeah, let's go with your future.
I think it's very difficult, dangerous, complicated, and uncertain. And
do you think you want to see it?
I'm gonna have to. It's my future.
That's a good answer. We can't travel forward in time. The future doesn't exist yet. Everything in the past did exist. It was perceived. It was there. Everything in the current is being perceived. It's there. But in the future, it's all guesswork. It doesn't exist yet.
No card of destiny.
We don't travel forward. Yes, exactly. We decided to get rid of that, so all of our actions would be our own. And may not always have been the wise choice, and fate, she still has her hand in places. But for the most part, the future is undecided. We can't see that.
Okay.
I'm going to show you why. Do you know what happens when you bring someone back from the dead?
Wait, how much does Squash know? Fuck. No, he knows nothing about this. I don't know. It's just bad. I've heard.
Okay.
Doesn't it cause rifts? I'm pretty sure I know that.
Yes, it does. Bringing someone back, it punches a hole in the fabric of reality. It brings their soul from the Stalking or Cicero or Bellum, and it brings them back into a new body or their old one. Their hourglasses, they were empty. And bringing them back means they have to be refilled. Do you know where that comes from?
Does it come from the hourglass of Bikron?
She nods. Smart, yes. So every time that someone is brought back or their life is extended beyond what they should naturally be extended, it punches a hole and removes some sand from the hourglass. We also need to, generally speaking, stop this. But there are so many people we... strange as it sounds, we don't actually have the time to catch them all. She turns in the corridor, and you find before you there is the hourglass of Bikram. You see that it is broken and cracked, and there are many, many holes throughout it. You can barely see through the glass the amount of scratches on there. There are so many deep cracks within the glass itself. And you can see that there is a lot of sand piled up on the floor around the bottom bowl of the hourglass itself. You can see there's still some multicolored sand in the top bowl, but it is broken. She takes a few steps forward and she places her hand kind of on like a very small, minuscule hole. And you see there's a little bit of sand pouring out. She says, this one is Cadence. And she lifts her hand up and she has to kind of almost stretch like on her tiptoes. And she taps another much larger hole, you know, about the size of her finger versus a pinprick. She says, and that one is your friend. This one is Damasus.
Damas has been brought. When did that happen?
Would you like to see?
If I'm allowed.
This is my memory. I can show you. She puts her hand forward and she creates this illusion. It has sound, it has smell, it has vision to it, it has everything, but it's floating above the palm of her hand. You see Grimsh standing in a small village. You can smell, almost taste the blood in the air. And standing before him, lying before him, you see a very young version of Damas. He has a sword in his back, and all around him you can see there are scorch marks and flames. You hear Hope say, one, you can't have them all. Grimsh nods and says,
thank you. One should be enough to gain her favor. Three would have been better. And I will still make it three if you ever interrupt me again.
Hope nods and she says, you could try. You know I would stop you. And then the memory fades.
Wait, that was... you've interacted with Grimsh?
She nods. I've probably interacted with a lot of the gods. You kind of get used to them after a while. He has no love for us.
Not a bridge I'll be burning for the purpose of this job, particularly. What happened to Damas? No. I think that's for Damas to tell me. If he wants to.
Your memory is terrible, isn't it? His sister told you. He died saving her.
You're right. There was a Orcus clan that attacked them, right?
Yes. Every one of her family was killed. All of them, including Damas. It's what started her on her path of slaughter. It's why Grimch saw her. He knew that it would take a great act to get her to stop and to work for him. He wanted to gift her her brothers and her family. Sorry, her brothers and her parents back. But I couldn't allow that. So just one hole for Damas. That's part of the choices we have to make. We have to balance goods and bad acts. It's not good that there's a hole in the hourglass, but there would be so much more death if I didn't allow it.
But is that your duty as timekeeper too? And Squash is kind of just like staring at the hourglass. Your duty is to keep this safe. To keep this whole.
Ours is a world with magic. Ours is a world with the ability to bring people back from the dead. And this hole, and this one, as she points at loads of much, much smaller holes, some larger, they will heal when they too pass. When Caden eventually dies, that hole will be filled. And when Damas passes, that hole too will be filled, but the sand will already have gone. But there won't be more pouring out of it.
So you don't know how much damage you're doing when you give somebody back. You just know there's going to be a hole.
Yeah. Yes. And we are never going to be able to stop all of them. There are thousands and thousands more people than when I first took this job. We don't have the ability to be in 1,000 places at once. We stop the damage that we can. We prevent cracks like this one. And she runs a hand along like a very obviously deep crack where you can see like bits of sand just occasionally falling out of them. We stop things like this.
Who's that?
This crack belongs to a man who travelled back in time. He travelled back 60 years to meet his grandmother. She was an awful person. She was trying to become a lich. And he killed her. Some people refer to it as the grandfather paradox. And that took a very long time to fix and sort. There was a lot of time and magic that went into fixing this on my behalf. He couldn't exist to kill her because he killed her. And yet when she wasn't dead, he existed. So he went back to kill her.
A paradox.
It's far easier to prevent stuff like this than it is to try and fix it.
How do you prevent it?
Well, we have to be a part of the world. We can ignore our calling. I did for a century or more.
Squash eyes the hourglass.
Oh, no, this is the result of 5,000 years of abuse. This is not me taking a break for a century. I'm sorry, where was I?
I asked you how we prevent it.
Right. We have to be a part of the world. We have to follow those who have magic. We have to learn to trust our instincts. There are people out there who are looking at time magic. Let me show you. And she puts her hands forward and she shows you another image. You can see that there are two tieflings and they're working over a table. You can see there are lots of drawings of the structures of things, of very, very small particles with numbers written next to them and a mixture of letters that don't look like any language you could ever probably comprehend. It's in maths. And one of them is smiling and tapping a finger. And you hear Infernal, and then it shifts into a common language that you can understand. You can tell that she's doing this. And he says,
"This means we can go back and we can bring back Fate. We can bring her back. We can make sure that she has a hand in all of this. This is our path. It's been a couple of hundred years since she had her power robbed from her. We can do this. We have the power to do this."
And the other one, she smiles and she says,
"I think we do. I have enough magic in my veins. I am strong and I am powerful."
And as they say this, you see a small flame appearing amongst their paperwork. You can see that it is spreading and spreading. And you can see that they're running around trying to put out this flame, but more of them begins more and more and more until all the papers are burnt away. And the image fades.
That would have been bad.
Small jumps in time, like the ones that you do with your crossbow. They leave scratches and dents. Hours less than others, actually, because it's part of the hourglass. But jumping more than a couple of months creates a deep, permanent crack. Any more than that, it crack widens, the glass breaks. It punches a hole so big, the only way to have fixed it would have been to create a second bulb to contain the sand, and I don't have that power. I don't have the ability to create an alternative time where they can exist both together.
Two worlds at the same time.
Everything that has happened would still have happened as she taps the bulb with all the cracks and all the sand in it. This will still have happened. And if they'd gone back 900 or so years, it would have been a huge hole. We'd have had to create another bulb to contain all of that sand that came pouring out. I don't have that ability.
Even if you did, there would be less time for the original
paper. Both sides. Yes. The time would be halved from the point of the jump. The only way to have fixed that would have been to have killed them.
How did you know they had figured this out? How did you know they were about to do this?
Like I said, I've had a few forms, and I've been a part of the world. Shyvana is a place that is filled with discovery. Everything is new and shiny, and they shunned the gods, but these two, they didn't, they were different. I'd heard them talk in a meeting hall about their future, their plans, talking about fate and destiny and the romance of it all. So I followed them. I learned about them. And then when I was sure, I burnt their research.
How long do you think they spent on that research?
3 years, 342 days.
Are they still alive?
They died 4,100 years ago, Squash.
I guess more what I'm, of course.
They lived out their life naturally, yes.
So you may have been forced to take away almost 4 years of their life, but you gave them the rest of their lives instead. Is this how you rationalize your work? Or is this how I'm going to rationalize
it? What do you do in this situation? That's your choice. I do what I have to.
You took over the mantle of time keeper 5,000 years ago?
Yes.
But you're much, much older than that, aren't you?
Not very much older. I'm still a halfling. Must only live a handful of decades. I'm not much older than that.
Are you bound to a single existence in a single time?
What do you mean?
Could you not exist in Shyvana, in Cusack, in the dawn and the dusk at the same time? Living four different lives, learning four different things, preventing four different tragedies.
In theory, yes. In theory, I could be living as many lives as I have power to keep the spells going. I can travel back in time and there'll be two of me. There was earlier, there was two of you too.
That's what I thought.
I could keep doing that. There is, in theory, nothing to stop us from doing this. Except us. The fact that we hold time in our hands, that's what stops us. I've never knowingly lived more than one life at a time, unless I had no choice. Because each one of those creates a hole, or a crack, or a scratch.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have to jump back into the past. We have to change things drastically. To preserve the overall integrity of the timeline. Knowing when, why, making that choice, there isn't a handbook for this, Squash. I haven't written one.
How do you travel?
Simple spells that we have access to. All of our spells, they come, the power sources, the hourglass. From what I can see of your timeline, you learn spells very quickly.
I've figured out how to do spells.
You might be a little limited in your power. It will take time for you to be able to master these and have enough mystical and magical energies to be able to do this. Pick a point in the last day or so that you want to travel back to. I need a time and a place. Yes, we're going to crack. And yes, there will be scratches, but please trust me when I say that they're going to get fixed.
In the last day, we've just been traveling across the stocking, so there was a point.
It doesn't have to be your timeline. Anyone, anywhere in the world who is scryable.
Meta question.
Yeah.
Where is Odette, Ama, and Kythea, I think the word is name is.
Mm-hmm. What time?
In the last, where do we know them last? Because if my memory serves me correctly,
you know them.
Kythea is in trouble or has been missing for a while. But I think I might be wrong.
Yeah, I think you're incorrect on that. So the last time that we see Odette, Kythea, and Aemo together, the three of them, was on the beach.
Okay.
When Adet took them, or Emil took all of them away. Adet, the last time you saw Adet was midnight the night before.
Yeah.
When she had to go back to Cicero. Aymar and Kythea, the last time you saw them was with Emil when he was taking them off the beach when Daechin was hunting all of you down.
Yes. Okay. Sorry, I feel it's very, very boring for my character always to pick Demi. So I'm trying to pick somebody that might need it more. But then again, probably.
Damas. There's Damas, you know, Trempel. You heard Trempel's yelling into the void fairly recently. Who else would you know? There's obviously Emil. Emil is an interesting person for you to follow around. You could attempt to scry and see upon your enemies. You could just attempt to see upon Common or Daechin. I'm going to tell you Daechin's unscryable.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably have guessed that, but that's a noper. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could see upon Bogrim. Actually, no, you know where Bogrim is, so it doesn't really matter.
I'm going to get a little cheeky.
Okay.
Damas wasn't alone.
He was not. He was with Halsif.
Sorry. Daechin wasn't alone.
Correct.
He had warriors with him.
There were a few other people with him, yes.
So I'm going to make one of them up.
All right. Go for it.
We've already tried to figure out. Squash like has a little bit of like a thoughtful look, and then he just goes, I know that Daechin has made absolutely sure that nobody can see what he's up to. Can you see what he's up to?
She shakes her head.
Okay. But what about the human that was with him? It was a man. He was wearing, like, very distinct armor. It looked kind of worn and broken, but clearly maintained for many, many years. He was holding a shield with a crest on it. I think it was something like a horseshoe or something.
Yes, I can see him. And you can see that her eyes are kind of purplish in color now.
What is he doing?
She puts her hands forward and you see that she begins to make... She seems to be slowing down her natural magical incantations.
Mm-hmm.
And you see her begin to very slowly wind her hands in a kind of spiral pattern, the fingers wiggling. And she says, I can take you to nearby him.
Okay.
About half a day from where we are now.
Okay.
Watch what I'm doing. You may take a little time to learn how to do this. You may need more power. But this is as safe a jump back as I think we can make. And she puts a hand on your shoulder, and like reaches up and puts a hand on your shoulder. And you find yourself standing in a forest. No, you find yourself standing in a clearing that you clearly recognize. It's at the bottom of a valley, and there is a river to one side, a big waterfall. You can see that there is nothing but high hills and mountainous areas around you covered in trees, but many of them have been cut down recently. There are no buildings, only very, very few buildings that still stand in this clear, empty area. You can see the ruins of a battle. You can see many corpses on the ground, many burn marks. The stench of blood and rot is in the air. And ahead of you, by one of these buildings, you can see there is a small gathering of people, including the human with slightly worn out armor. You're standing in empty shallows. Hope puts a finger to her lips. This is the man that you wanted to look upon.
Squash is scanning the area.
Take a perception check.
That's a 31.
What are you looking for?
Daechin and living halflings.
The collection of people that this human man is standing amongst. There are humans, halflings, gnomes, a few dwarves, a couple of elves. And you can see they're standing by one of these buildings. You can see them very easily. They're silhouetted against a fire. And you can also see the tall frame of a half-elf. You see Daechin standing amongst them. He's talking very animatedly at them. You have lip reading.
Yes, I do.
You can see him talk about the next phase of the attack. He's talking about splitting off this plane. He is telling you that there are people who are going off after information that will help make this separation of the planes more stable than last time. That was just step one. This was step two, completely shutting off the material plane from the others. And by the time that they, the enemy of the Blissville Eclipse, finally managed to take it down, it may be too late for them all. And we can only hope that such a thing comes to pass. On your 31, you're also aware that far off in the distance, you can see that there are some birds that have suddenly just taken flight. They're very quiet. They're very far off in the distance. You can't hear them. You just see them on the edge of your gaze next to your 31. Fuck you. That tells you that there is something or some group making their way towards Empty Shallows.
How does Daechin look like? Does he look like he's had a difficult day, or does he look like nothing has bothered him ever?
He looks chill as fuck. He looks a little bit like, yeah, maybe he's had a bit of a long day, but he's, yeah, just like, you know, the flick off the shoulder of whatever has happened today.
Mm-hmm.
He's clearly tired, but he really doesn't care.
Yeah.
He is full of arrogance and pomp in front of all of these followers, I guess.
This is half a day ago. Do you know anything about this?
She shakes her head. Not until you ask me to look.
You surely know who that is, right?
She nods. That is Daechin. That is the reason that you are becoming the timekeeper. We need to leave before they see us.
Okay.
Before we gain more knowledge than the hourglass can cope with.
Okay.
She puts a hand on your shoulder and you feel that, like, spine pull. You're standing in front of the hourglass of Bikram once again. I'm sorry. It's tempting to do this. And she puts her hands on the glass and you can see that there is a crack that is beginning to form, and then you just hear this kind of like shatter as you see this crack starting to get much wider. That's our jump. That's the knowledge of our jump. Anything you do with that knowledge will make that crack wider. But I can repair it.
How? How do you repair the hourglass?
Well, time is partially based on perception. If that knowledge disappears and dies and is never acted upon, then it begins to cure. We can take some of the sand itself. We can melt it, fill the crack, and provided the crack doesn't get much bigger, it can be healed over. There is another way, but I won't be showing you that until much, much later. Don't worry, you're not going to inherit the hourglass looking like this.
I don't like the sound of that.
I don't much like it either. And Sirik will hate me for it. Anyway. That's us actually traveling back in time and to a place. There is another thing that we can do. You might find it useful.
What is that?
There is the what if. Now I can cure almost all of this damage right now. And I'm probably going to.
Okay.
The what if? It's those moments of regret. I've had a lot of them over 5,000 years, believe me. And there is always the temptation to go back and do it differently. Make a change.
Okay. I'm assuming it can only be used for yourself. You can't give other people what ifs.
She nods. We can do that. It has an unbelievable risk of creating, of forcing us to create an alternative timeline. Unless we completely shut that avenue off. I can show you. But it would be up to you to come back. And if you don't come back, I will seal off your timeline forever.
I guess I'll have to learn how to do it, so...
It's sometimes needed. I'm not going to lie. A path mistaken that led to almost utter ruination of our timeline. I'm not going to lie that I've had to do that more than once over 5,000 years.
Does Silek know that you do it?
She looks like... Take an insight check for me.
Yeah, I'm bad at those, but let's go. And so, 21 rather than 18.
She looks really embarrassed. and she says, he knows when I need him to know, I guess.
Sorry, didn't mean to pry. Just...
Oh, no worries. Don't worry about that. Yeah, I've used it to fix some personal mistakes with him and I. And I've used it to save the world more than once. Okay. You need to put your hands on the glass itself, where there are no cracks or scratches. And this is, I guess, a little unfair since you have 5,000 years of damage to get over.
I'll fight a spot, don't worry. It's not that bad.
You did a great job.
Hey, the last boss died and gave me all this crap. I'm only making do with what I had. minimal notes. Squash is gonna search around the hourglass for a spot where he thinks
it takes some time, and you kind of have to use one of the supports for the cat to like pull yourself up a bit higher so that you can find a place to put your hands on. It's a really awkward place to lean and stretch, but you can do it. And she says, you're 37 years old. How far back and what if do you want to go?
There are many times in my life I've had to think what if. Little decisions I've made. But I know all the big ones. If I change them, I'm not here anymore.
You'll be able to choose to come back here or not.
I think
you'll remember everything before.
I think you're misunderstanding me. I'm not gonna change what I did, which leads me here. I need to be here right now. I can't choose not to go with Daejin. I can't choose not to drink that first night. I can't choose not to steal. And I can't choose to be late. Any of these things, the things I'd really want to change, they would change this.
They would.
So, I have to choose something stupid. Something that won't change anything. Because
I can choose to come back here, and nothing would have changed. Except that you have a slightly different set of knowledge to go along with what you know. In your mind, you will hold two timelines. The one you took, and the one you choose to still take. And the other, the what if. You can choose to come back to this time, or you can choose to stay in the what if. When you leave the what if, that alternative time, if you come back here, I will show you how to fix it. And everyone and everything in there will disappear as if they won't even be in the abyss. The only thing that remain will be your memory. And hopefully only a small scar on the hourglass.
I don't have to repeat my mistakes.
No.
What if I hadn't spent my money? What if I could have gone home?
Okay. Focus on that single point of time. Think about that moment over and over to the point where you didn't spend everything. Change it so when you recall it, when you close your eyes, you see you having that money, not having spent it, whatever period of time you're talking about. Focus on that. And the same way that you draw energy and magics, let that flow through your fingers, the moment when you almost convince yourself that you didn't spend it. And to get back, you just need to call for me, okay?
Okay.
You're the same age that you are now. You're 37 and a bit years old. You can tell by looking out the window of your home that you're in Vanlas. You can hear the sounds of someone pottering around behind you. And as you turn around and look at this home that is yours, everything here is neat and tidy and has an obvious, slightly older woman's touch to it. You look down at yourself and you're wearing what looks like a new... You look down at yourself and you're wearing what is clearly a new uniform. It is of the lodge. You can hear the sound of a woman singing off in the distance, the smell of fresh baking bread, somewhere off in the kitchen. What do you want to do?
I want to look in a mirror.
As you look in the mirror, you can see that one or two of the scars on the side of your face have disappeared. The big burn star, that will always be there. Your teeth are fixed, you're not still a were-rat, you are as you are now. Your hair is short and well-trimmed. Looked after, but trimmed. Everything about you looks well. Your face isn't drawn in. You don't look malnourished or under the effects of lack of sleep or under the effects of not eating properly or days and days and days and days of travel. You're well built. You're healthy.
Why do I have a new uniform?
You hear... Do you say this out loud?
Basically, I guess I'm more trying to probe the memories or the knowledge of this world.
As you kind of like half say this out loud and as you kind of like begin to think about it, you see yourself accepting a commission from Damas. Knowledge seeker. It comes with a healthy increase to your wages, a place to live,
Who is that going to make the most happiest?
Huh?
Who's in the kitchen?
By the smell of baking bread and the humming and the singing, it's your mother.
Wait, we left Empty Shallows?
She comes out of the kitchen, and in her hand is a breadboard. Freshly baking bread. You can see the kind of the heat still rising off of it. You can see that there are breads and drams and knives and forks and a few plates balanced precariously on this one wooden board as she places it down at the table. She says, "Here, of course, we're going to stay there with Dacian. No way."
Right. Well, I guess we couldn't convince everybody what he really was doing.
No, we didn't.
Sorry,
they're fanatics, and they always believed. I guess it's not your fault.
I'm bringing up stupid stuff. I shouldn't be worrying about this stuff. Come here, and Squash is gonna walk over and give her a hug of a lifetime.
She has that are you right, Squash?
Of course.
It's not that I don't appreciate a hug from my son, but are you right?
Today's a good day.
Yeah, it's a good day, I guess. So, how long are you going to be away this time?
Well, I was thinking to make the first one... I was going to make it grand, but I think shooting for the stars is probably going to just leave me wandering empty space. So let's go for something not too crazy.
All right. Well, you just make sure you let me know. I'll always have food on the table ready for you when you get home. But I'm going out and I'm going to be playing a couple of games to go fish with the ladies. So just want to know, just in case.
Yeah. No, don't worry. I'll be home for supper. I might even bring home something. Something nice. Something fresh.
Well, if you ain't got time for breakfast, you better get along to your first day of work. Don't want to piss off Demez.
He loves me. He could never be mad at me.
That's probably true. You're one of his favorites.
I want to say goodbye to Dad. Where is he?
As you say that, as you begin to form those words, you know that he's gone. He passed many years before you got home.
Sorry.
It's all right. I forget about that too sometimes.
Do you think they'd be mad if I bring his old cloak, the one I used? It's too patchy.
Well, no, don't be ridiculous. I mean, that bright red patch, probably not the smartest to take out on a secret mission, but, you know. And she has like this really purse-lipped when she's talking about it.
No biggie. It can stay in the closet where it's safe.
Right. Well,
yeah.
You have a good day.
Yeah. I'll see you tonight. Squaz is going to grab like a loaf and just walk out.
As you make your way through Vanlas, you begin to see changes that you didn't see before. You begin to feel and understand things. You can see that there is a lot of, in the nooks and the crannies of the city itself, there are still red stains of old blood that have yet to be cleared away after the most recent god's death. You know that heading towards the lodge itself, that Damas will not be there. He is off fighting with some other orcish woman that you've very briefly met. You know that there are people out there doing things. You know that at some point soon you are supposed to be meeting up with the prisoners that you met when you were guiding them to the Lost City way back in the past. As far as you know, they're doing okay. But you don't know them. Your memories of them are just that one trip, that one way forward. You remember going down into the vault of the Gentleman's Dueling Club. You remember getting the chalice. You and Demi fought very quickly, but you cleared and got it to them. You remember as you walk along, travelling back to Empty Shallows, of the resistance you met there from most people, and how very quickly your mother turned and left with you. Very, very few of them went with you. You know that you're holding down the fort for the Lodge. You are making illusions that Damaz is still there and active and in charge, when in fact he's very much not. He's very much off trying to save the world while you are holding down the fort. Is there anything else you would like to know?
Is my job really just to pretend to be out on missions while I'm forging documents and keeping things moving?
No. You truly do go find information. You truly do try and figure out where things are and where things are being hidden. The movements of the enemies, those people suspected to be in league with the Blissful Eclipse. You are fairly certain that one of the men that you met way back when Dayton was taking you across the country, an old dwarf named Salt, you know he had a hand in freeing Dayton. You know that if you were to see him again, you know that he is pretending to work on the side of Bikron. You know that he is not.
Well, wouldn't kill me to keep this idea going a little bit longer, so I guess I'll head up to the Lodge, just make sure everything is in order before I spend the day trying to figure out maybe something about this Salt character, and if that seems like a fruitless effort, maybe try to figure out something about, like, I don't know, try to track some paperwork. Where is food moving? Where are people moving? Where are people disappearing?
As you basically take up the mantle of being in charge for the next few hours, you know that Salt left Falsum after Dayton was released from the bubble, but you know from various movements and information gained from spies and your own followings of him that he is back in Falsum, that he is putting together a small arsenal to take down someone in particular, someone with a lot of magic. You know that he's interacting with this dwarven woman, name you haven't gotten yet. Current Squash would know this to be common. Old Squash, sorry, Squash in this timeline would not. You know that. You know that food is scarce and that a lot of the Lodge members these days have struck up a new alliance with the members of the Witcher Society, with a leader named Trempel. Between the Lodge and the Witcher Society, at least the one that has gone rogue, shall we put it like that, that they are helping to protect the shipments from the farmers, keeping them protected, keeping the food safe as it travels across the countries to feed the troops in various places. That is what the Lodge is up to now.
Is there anything I can do today?
Not really.
And I guess Squash whittles away the day, doing whatever administrative duties he can. And I'd like to imagine that whatever office Damas has, which Squash probably uses a lot now that he's away.
Yeah.
It has a window that faces east where the sun sets.
Yeah, absolutely it can. Not a problem in the world.
Squash is, like, writing deal documents, trying to, like, figure out things, trying to balance the use of troops versus danger areas, trying to figure out things, logistics, ideas, seeing if somebody can be called home who needs to be home, seeing somebody can be sent out. And
he just... the Squash of the what if, he knows this well. This is not new to the Squash of what if, the Squash that is observing, that is trying to get through this. This is all new, but it just flows from your pen very easily.
Mm. kind of looks up from the papers as the sun starts setting in the back and the kind of weird dusk color fills the room. It's not an easier existence. It's very stressful. My hand hurts. Responsible for so many people, but they know you're responsible. What a weird difference, but is this all I'll ever do?
You hear someone cough at the doorway.
Squash.
And Dama says, well, if you don't want my job.
What, you're going to beat me up until I give it back?
Won't be the first time. And he kind of like walks over and he like begins to pour himself some blood wine that he's hidden away in one of his cabinets. Helsif comes and like in and she kind of like taps you on the shoulder but doesn't touch your shoulder at all. Mm. And then she just goes to sit down at the other end. You know that her grasp of common is only so-so. You find that your grasp of Orcish, however, is pretty fluid.
Oh. Squash just like says a greeting in Orcish. Hail and well met.
She returns in kind and takes the blood wine that is offered and Dumas pours you some tea.
How'd it go?
Well, we found it. Found the axe. Found the spear. Helsif should be well set up when it comes to it.
Are we just gonna beat them up? Is that our plan?
Well, whatever the gods have got planned, they're not letting us in on it. Well, exception of Helsif, obviously.
Yeah.
Did you manage to find any information on her? Where she might be?
Who is he asking about?
What if Squash would know that he's asking about Demi?
Yeah, I thought so. No. There's nothing really out there.
Oh, fuck me. And he just necks back the entirety of the blood wine goblet he's poured. Anything to report about today? All go well?
Yeah. Could have been more eventful. Thankfully not. Let's put it like that. Now, I redid all the ledgers and I figured out a way to get Jerry a day off so he can go see his brother, as he asked.
You're a good man, Squash. Good man. All right. Call it quits. Go back home. Night off.
Go back home.
Yeah. Unless it's your mum's go fish night.
It is.
Alright. Well, you tell her we'll see her in a couple of days for dinner.
Is that a promise or a hope?
Standing Friday night dinner. Do you forget?
No, I just know how you are.
Get out of here before I actually beat you up, alright?
Yeah, okay. Squash gets up and he like moves a couple of papers about that he had like kind of strewn around while he was working. And then just kind of leaves. I think he wanders the city of Anlas a little bit. Knowing that he needs to go home.
Vanlas is quiet. Normally, Vanlas in the evening or at night is a bustling metropolis. But something in the air tells everyone to stay indoors, to stay safe. You can see there's a lot of damage from the various earthquakes. The blood rain is still evident all around. People look thinner than they did before, as if they're lacking nutrients. Some of them seem to be lacking any sense of hope at all.
Are the same amount of gods dead in the same order in this world?
Yes.
Hmm. I thought we might have at least slowed them down a little bit. Squaws, like, kicks a rock while he's just kind of walking the street. Are you gonna let me do this all day, or...
Are you calling out to Hope?
He's kind of asking her.
There is no response unless you are directly calling for Hope to get you.
Why would I choose this? Why would I choose any of this?
You hear a voice on, like, one side of your shoulder. Are you staying or going?
I'm going. This calm.
Very
this is...
quickly you feel that pull, and as you're talking, you find yourself suddenly standing, well, almost falling into the sand from the position that you were.
Oh. How long have I been hanging up there?
About 12 hours.
Of course. Of course. I thought maybe 12 hours. Have I wasted 12 hours?
Not wasted from what I could tell. I can send you back.
Or, wait, what do you mean?
She points up at a rather large hole and crack roughly where your hands were. You can see that the sand is kind of just trickling out of it, like, because it's quite high up. There's not a lot of sand pouring directly out of it, but you can see there's a fair amount, like, beginning to trickle out. As more sand falls in, more falls out. We can send you back into that.
What do you mean?
You can live that life, if you want.
No. I have no. There's a single person there that deserves that world. Everybody else, they don't know what they're missing.
Yeah. While you were there, I looked at the rest of the what if. Laffian dies and is brought back to life. You weren't there to save him from Dachin's spell.
In the crater.
He nods. She nods. Damez never sees his sister again. And so far as I understand, her path there, he never will again.
Okay. It's... I don't want to change it. I don't. It's fine. I've got this. This version.
Okay. She climbs up and you can see the sand that is pouring out. She puts her hands underneath it and you see her hands begin to glow very bright. She says, right at this moment, in the what if, your mum is playing Go Fish. And the last memory that that version of her will have is being happy and proud. And then with one push up, as her hands are glowing bright orange, slowly turning into white brightness, the sand that she's pushing up begins to fill that crack. And the memories you have of that were so clear, of everything that happened at what if timeline was so clear. As the hole fills over, they become loose strands, like of a dream or a memory. We can only do that with our what ifs. And you can't ever go back to that one again.
Squashes. Being quiet right now, he's trying to hold his composure as happy memories of his mother kind of fade from his memory.
If that had continued, that hole would have gotten bigger as two lives existed at once. I would have been forced to shut you off in that.
It's okay.
And you two would have faded into nothing.
I wouldn't change anything. I'm not proud of where I am, but I'm...
You should be. You saved Laffian's life. You saved many others too, just not as drastically, I guess.
Well, I don't know. What do you want? What do you want? Do you want me to tell you that I'm going to make it all work? Or do you want me to tell you that I'm proud of who I am and what I've done? Or do you want me to actually go into one of the cracks and just stay there so you can keep your job? What do you want? Why are we doing this? What are you learning? What have you learned?
I'm learning about you, Squash. I'm learning about if I can trust you with this power. There is no gods overseeing our work. There are no people telling us what is right and wrong. The only compass, the only guide we have is ourselves. That's it. And as much as people around us can love us and try to understand, they will never get it. I have to keep Sirik at a distance because he does sway me. And it's lonely. I'm lucky. I am so very lucky that Sirik is who he is. He too has an inordinately long lifespan.
Oh.
But I've seen children go. My brothers, my sisters, my nephews, my nieces, my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. All of them go. I've had to tell people that their life's work cannot exist in our world. I've had to look at people and tell them they can't bring their loved ones back. And I also have to know that no matter what I do, the hourglass will look like this at the end of an age. And she kind of like wraps her knuckles on the completely broken and almost shattered hourglass of Bikron. We stem the flow of damage. We can't stop it. There are too many people. And if I can't trust that you're going to do the right thing, that you're just going to give up on it, and slip back into old habits, then I can't trust you with this power. That's what I'm doing. I'm assessing you, Squash. There is no fight to the death, although there might be. There is no test of what you can see and what you can't. It's you. And the fact that I've also seen your path, the things that you've done. And I have a good guess on what you're planning to do. Even if Bikron survives, you are contemplating not, aren't you?
You said you couldn't see the future.
No, I can't. But I'm not bloody stupid.
She's more important than what I was and what I am right now. Do you need me? I want to help. I want to help those who haven't been helped. And now I'm not sure if I'm gonna get to do that if I take on the mantle of timekeeper. Because I'm not gonna be helping those who haven't been helped. I'm gonna be keeping order. I'm gonna be the police, the army. Not the Good Samaritan. And I'm willing to give that up. I'm willing. Because that's what they all need. I guess it's what I should do. I promise not to throw away the title of timekeeper. I'll keep it safe.
She walks over and she takes both your hands in hers. And she can see you flinching, but she doesn't let go. She stares up at you. You will put Bikram before everyone. Promise me this.
I promise to keep Bikram before everyone else.
Do you mean it?
Yeah.
Then I will reach a compromise with you. If you survive, I will make you the timekeeper in that instant. Or if you decide not to do it, I will make you the timekeeper. I can't risk you burning this away. But I know that you are willing to put Bikram first. I can see it. You can take some of the sand. And when you come back, when I make you the timekeeper, I will show you how to fix this. Because you will need to fix it when it comes your time to hand the mantle of timekeeper over. It means you're not going to get any of these powers yet. You don't have access to this magic. But there are people out there who can cast this if you cannot. You will be a better timekeeper if she survives.
Are you sure?
I'm not gonna lie. Some of it is selfish. When you become the timekeeper, I die. And I will never get to make right with Sirik what he has done. I'll never get to tell him I forgive him. It is a little selfish. But I would rather have a great timekeeper than a shit one.
Squaws quietly bends down and takes a handful of sand.
She puts her hands together, palms together. She pulls her hands apart. And you can see that she creates a very basic looking hourglass with no cap. She gives that to you. You place the sand in. She puts the cap on top and locks it. She hands it back to you. She says, "This should be enough for your spell. Good luck, Squash."
I'm sorry, I'm not ready yet.
That's okay. It's just a matter of time.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening to episode 198 of The Lucky Die. Jesus, we're very far along, and it's been a long time since I did an outro. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. V did an amazing job creating this just spectacular moment for Squash to go through, and I am genuinely so pleased with how it played out and honestly a little bit shocked where she took it. But thank you so much for listening. And if you want to, you can reach out to us on all the socials. We're on Discord, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. And just go check us out, give us a follow, give us a like. It helps a bunch to get more eyes on our stuff. And I want to throw out a thank you to Dagwood, who is my friend and played Grooms. And I also want to thank Adam and Flo from Gunpowder Treason No Plot, who are the researchers. And if you stick around for just a second longer, I'm about to be done, I promise, you can catch the trailer for an improvised audio drama called Dark Tides, which is like an improvised bi-weekly, which means every other week, not twice a week, show where they do like supernatural stuff, and it's actually kind of cool. So I recommend you stick around and listen to that. Have a fantastic week, have a fantastic month, have a fantastic everything. Bye!
This has been a Blight House Studio production. Thank you for listening.
Hey, Ernest, you ever think maybe this was a bad idea? Getting involved with this?
Oh, yeah, a little bit, but I mean, we're handling it pretty well.
Silently moving through the water beside you is a wall of flesh.
The time has come. Mother will drown the world and we will be the new beginning. Children of the Tide. The time has come.
Hello, Winston Wither, local kook, and I believe on a spiritual level that Chutney needs to have big bits on. Why are you going?
Excuse me.
I need to interview the. Why are you going?
Wait your turn, Sunshine.
Behold, the city of the gnomes, and here, Schmal Schmarks, founder of Schmamunism.
Welcome, listeners, to Dark Tides, a weekly paranormal audio drama series that uses role-playing game mechanics.
Beware, your mother. She'll stop at nothing.
Find the child.
Before she does.
Protect the child.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.